Okay, hi there.
Hi.
My name's Daniel Obuchike. I'm just going to say, wow, thank you for doing whatever it is you do. You're amazing. I can't understand how I hadn't even really heard your name up until a few months ago. But hearing what you've stood up for has been amazing. And I mean, you're doing it where it really counts, which is in the United States of America, in the House. Me, particularly, I'm from a different aspect because I was on board the bus in Tavistock Square on 77, which was not too far from here. And I have taken it upon myself to stand up and say precisely what I saw that day, not just because, hey, I'm an African and we've got to stand up, but for everyone in London who was treated, murdered in public that day. And the thing that has been so strange since that time is that the public have actually been in some kind of trance when it comes to the information that the public has been published. So that's why I took it upon myself, under great personal risk, I may add, to actually publish precisely what I saw that day. And it's in a book called The Fourth Bomb. I hope to present it to you. If I could do that, it would just make my year. Thank you.
Make sure you sign it. Only if you sign it and you put your telephone number and your email address in it. Great. Okay, so now someone wanted to do, we've got people who, okay, we have time for one more round, so maybe you'll see me privately. Okay. Yes.
Hello there. My name is Ian Anderson, and I was very, very intrigued about what you said about MK Ultra and these disastrous experiments that were being done. A friend of mine was sort of set up to be involved in a sort of practical joke that went terribly, terribly wrong. And he ended up mentioning bin Laden and various other things. This person just coincidentally happened to be of Arab origin and ended up being exposed, I can only say, to psychoelectric weaponry for a period of about 2.5 to 3 years. And the principal problem that he has is he's been trying to get this recognized that this took place, or to find a forum that would be willing to investigate or probe the matter. And on each and every occasion, he's been dismissed as a lunatic. Can you say what official moves are being made by people like yourselves to have it recognized that, in fact, these things do exist? There are ways in which governments can use radio frequencies to distort and derange and dehumanize people, and that if somebody says that this is what has happened to them, it shouldn't be regarded as being a hoax, and it's absolutely genuine.
Yes, in fact, there was an article in the Washington Post. After something happens and folks get the feeling that they can brag with impunity, that's when you learn a lot of things. For example, when Milosevic was finally brought to his knees and decided to leave power, there was an article, I believe it was in the Washington Post. I saved it. I save all of these kinds of articles, and basically it was the Clinton administration bragging about how they disappeared the money from his bank account. And that was, you know, sort of the final straw that convinced him that it was time for him, it really was time for him to go. And there was an article in the Washington Post, if you put mind weapons or something like that, and do post, I think it was in February of this year, and it tells the whole background of CIA efforts on that. You can also do MK Ultra in your search engine, and it can, you know, talk to you about the, it will tell, describe what that program was, which was a real program. I worked for a long time with the attorney who represented Sirhan Sirhan, who believed that the situation involving the murder of Bobby Kennedy was a kind of MK Ultra kind of thing. That was Lawrence Teeter, who recently died and so no longer is available. But if you put his name in search engine, you can also find information about what it was that he researched as well.
Sorry about the noise. Just thank you very much for being here. We need to hear everything you're telling us, because as we know, the government here, they slavishly follow Bush and the other. Blair is gone, but the relationship continues. Anyway, I wanted to say, just in terms of standing up, we're from a women's center where we are on a daily basis confronting the state, and there are many women who are escaping asylum, you know, seeking asylum, are single mothers, are sex workers, are women escaping from trafficking, many, many situations. And one of the things that we come up against is there's like what's called here the voluntary sector, which is people that are supposed to be in the movement, but in fact are taking funds and so on from the government, big contracts, lucrative contracts. And in fact, they dance to the tune of the government. And I wondered if you could say a bit about how that's happening in the U.S. I know it's happening there, but it might be helpful for people to hear from you about that. And the second thing I wanted to ask about is how you're able to use, for example, the struggle in Venezuela, which is really being, you know, fueled by so much by women and who President Chavez is representing. And we often talk about him as the president of the poor worldwide. And how can people like Chavez, you know, be a strength for us here, but also in the horrendous situation in the U.S.? Thank you.
Very good. I'll try to be brief. This is, one of the subjects of my passion is that we have to look at people who have managed to take over the power and the reins of government, and these are in purely people-powered revolutions, and these really are revolutions. We look at Venezuela, we look at Brazil, we look at Bolivia, we look at Nicaragua, we've got Ortega back in Nicaragua. I met Daniel Ortega in Venezuela. He's with Hugo Chavez. So, I mean, you know, the people in Latin America are showing us the way. We have to find inspiration from their ability to struggle and win. And certainly if they can do it, those of us who are in this world, we can also do it as well. Now, with respect to the dollars, I mean, that's basically a follow-up on what my recommendation to the gentleman was, and that is that we have to watch and make sure that the dollars that actually energize the movement are movement dollars and are not controlled opposition dollars. And whenever there's an organization that is extremely well-funded, you better look twice at them.
Hi, Cynthia. My name is Stella. And I'm from Rwanda, and I'm from a big room. I'm from the All African Women's Group. That's a big group of women who are seeking protection from all these things that are happening in the world, from war. And these are women who have, you know, come and seek help or protection from the world powers who have caused actually the things that have made them to flee their countries. And when they are here seeking for protection, they are being denied that protection, and they are actually being put in prison after fled, you know, all that they have gone through. They are being put in prison with their children and being, you know, deported back. And Women and children are 80% of refugees and they are misplaced people in the world. And international courts have recognized that rape is routinely used as a weapon for war. And an estimated 50% of women seeking refuge in the UK or around the world. And yet the UN Convention of Refugee, which defines that who is entitled to protection, does not recognize the specific routine of persecution of women being raped. And this is something which women come to be protected against. And they are normally is something which isn't recognized as torture. And the government has totally, completely refused to protect women from rape, that which takes place in war. I wonder if you could have something to say about that with, from women who are seeking protection from the so-called world powers.
Well, I would only just express my solidarity with those women, but also say that it is incumbent upon people who live in these so-called superpowers to take control of their own governments. I mean, what is being done in the name of the U.S. taxpayer around the world is outrageous. And just, you know, the world thinks that, you know, Hutus and Tutsis don't like each other or they enjoy killing each other, and that's, you know, what the Rwanda genocide was all about. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. It's about the United States trying to supplant French-speaking with English-speaking, but actually it's really about stealing the resources. Who gets the chance to steal the resources? That's what it's about. And to the extent that you allow your government to get away with saying, well, we have a special relationship with the United States and therefore we're going to condone everything that the United States does, then we become complicit in that rape. Next.
Good evening. I want to ask you a question about the Black Panthers.
Yes.
What are they doing at the moment or things like that? Are they very strong or dormant? I mean, I don't really know. And the other thing is Jesse Jackson. Is he like one of those dressed up black guys or is he really fighting for the cause? I mean, I don't know. Thank you.
There are probably some things that I should say to you off this microphone. I would just recall the quote from the May 11th, 1965 document. Somewhere at the top, there must be a Negro who is clean, who can step into the vacuum and chaos once Dr. King is either exposed or assassinated, okay? For those who care about information pertaining to that succession, or the murder of Dr. King, you can go to the U.S. government's own website, usdoj.gov, and put in Martin Luther King. There's a whole report. And if you look at the December 1999 trial, those transcripts are also available. There is specific information that references the role of Jesse Jackson. I would advise you to go there and read the court testimony. DOJ, usdoj.gov is for the Martin Luther King, the official U.S. government report that was done under Attorney General Janet Reno after the December 1999 trial. And then you can just put December 1999 Memphis, Tennessee, MLK conspiracy. And you will find it's located on the King Center website, Martin Luther King Center for Nonviolent Social Change in Atlanta, is on their website, the transcript, the entire transcript from the 1999 trial.
Good
I'll tell you afterwards. We got to talk. We got an appointment afterwards anyway. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Well, mine is just a contribution about what you said to the last speaker who sat close to me. When you are talking about the struggle of the black people in America, that reminds me of the struggle of the black people of South Africa.
Yes.
Because I could remember when I was small, everything that we see on the TV was just black people being chased, being killed, this and that. Now with that has gone, no more apartheid, but what was replaced with it? In about 10 of black community, 10 people, you'll have 8 with AIDS in South Africa. Why? Apartheid is gone. Why the AIDS? Was it a replacement? Africa is suffering, really. Not apart from South Africa, what makes the people there to suffer? Diamonds.
Yes.
Other places. Congo. I think most of us here have got mobile phones. Where did we get the chips? The things to make the mobile phones from Congo. That's Africa. If we can think of most of the things that we have in the Western world, they are from Africa. And yet, Africa is the poorest continent on earth. There are other places too, oil. Okay? There are countries with oil who say, all right, those countries are okay. But who owns the oil? The Western world. They dig the oil, they remove the oil. We only have the oil in the land of Africa, but it doesn't belong to us. Now we have a country called Niger. Niger is the poorest, statistically, is the poorest country in the world. But it supplies uranium to make nuclear bombs and to make even the microwaves that we use for cooking. But yet, when you go to Niger, you find that the most stable food they have is flour and water, without sugar, without anything. That, they are used to that. And every year, they suffer from lack of food, malnutrition, etc. Now, if we have to think about what is happening now, Sudan, that's a conflict there. All of us think that it's a conflict in the country. No, it's a conflict that is originated from outside the country. It's a conflict that is pushed into the country. Now, America has got permission to pump oil from Lake Chad. But the Sudanese government has refused to give permission for America to get that oil to the ocean to be taken away. Instead, create conflicts. So when that conflict is there, then the country will be divided. And as always, if the country is divided, the part where are suffering, their savior will be America. And of course, America will get the land, and so they will be free to get the oil out. Now, we always have make poverty history, and money is collected and given to Africa. But where does the money go? We are in Africa, we don't see the money. It goes back to the banks, to the World Bank. Who owns the World Bank? The Western world. So, it's for everyone to think about this. What are we going to do for Africa? Thank you.
I won't try in any way to respond to my sister's eloquence because her words speak for themselves. I will admit, though, that I did not respond to the brother's question about the Black Panthers. And the Black Panthers, those who, some of them are alive and well and prospering after a lot of pain in Africa. Many of them are involved in alternative political parties in the United States. Some of them are trying to save themselves desperately from further prosecution, like the San Francisco Eight. Others of them continue to be held as political prisoners. I happen to visit Mutulu Shakur every chance I can get, who is the father figure of Tupac Shakur, which leads me to a piece of legislation. Also that I introduced was for release of all of the records pertaining to the surveillance of Tupac. He was surveilled. And of course, release the records of the surveillance of Dr. King as well. With respect to the issue of diamonds, you have here an expert. Actually, she lives in Brighton, and her name is Janine Roberts. She has written a book. I think it's like the Diamond Empire or the Diamond Industry. Just stick her name in your search engine, Janine Roberts, and she's right here. She's a treasure. I don't know if y'all know it, but she's dedicated her entire life to tracking the individuals who cut the backroom deals, funded the so-called rebel groups who disappear out of nowhere, and who then are able to threaten capitals of democratically elected countries on the African continent simply because they want fair trade for their resources. And our final question will be from Fran.
Hi. Yes, there's two things really. One is I heard that there might be the idea of a third party to get away from the corporate vested interests that subvert democracy within America. So wondering if you might be able to comment on that. And also number two, the Janus 6 campaign and the Black Tree and the White Tree incident. And I've set up an email account, so if people want to send messages of solidarity on to the Janus 6 campaign, it's citizensrightsuk at yahoo.co.uk.
Okay, very good. Citizensrightsuk at yahoo.co.uk. Okay, cool. In the United States, first of all, I would say, if the United States government says that we have overcome, just believe the opposite, okay? In the United States, in many places, I'm from the South, I'm a proud Southerner, love my Southern accent, but I have to say that some of us are still fighting the Civil War. That Civil War is fought in the form of flag wars where the stars and bars of the Confederacy may happen to appear on a state flag, or where a Confederate flag may happen to appear on a state flag. And then the question is, where is the appropriate place to demonstrate the Confederate flag if the Confederate flag is not a part of the official state flag? We still have those discussions. Well, after the pain of Hurricane Katrina, it seems that folks were just not full enough of these racial problems that the United States can't seem to get rid of. And so there's a school, I think it's a high school, and it's two trees in the schoolyard. One tree is where the white kids congregate. The other tree is where the black kids congregate. So this is, the name of the town is Jenna, J-E-N-A, Louisiana. You can look it up. It's, you know, the whole sordid story is available for you. And so one day a black kid asked the teacher if he could go sit under the black tree. The teacher said, you can sit anywhere you want to. So the black kid went and sat under the white tree. That black kid got sentenced to, I believe, 20 years in prison because a fight broke out. And, you know, then he was subjected to Jenna justice. And there are five other young kids, basically, who are fighting charges, having charges brought against them for participating in this brawl. Now, mind you, none of the white kids who participated in the fight were charged with anything, because that is Jenna Justice. We've got Michael Warren and his wife in New York City. I need to mention this because the Black Panthers were mentioned. He served as a lawyer for Tupac, lawyer for many Black Panther Party members. He saw a young Latino man handcuffed and on the ground being beaten by the New York Police Department officers. He and his wife are driving and they stop the car and they yell out to the NYPD officers, you've already got the young kid handcuffed, you don't need to beat him too. So the NYPD pull him out of the car and proceed to beat him too. And when the wife then gets out of the car to protest, then they lock her up on charges of whatever. So now the Warrens, who both are attorneys, have had to secure attorneys because this case is being prosecuted in the courts of New York. Not to mention the untold number of unarmed Black men who have been murdered by rogue police officers. It happens all over the United States. 25% of the people who sleep on the streets in the United States are veterans. And now they also are coming back from Iraq, testing positive from depleted uranium, sleeping on the streets, assaulting their wives. We don't know what drugs they've been given. And the United States government goes to court and says, we don't have any responsibility to take care of veterans for the rest of their lives. Something is terribly, terribly wrong in my country. And so I just appreciate, you know, what I'm doing. You asked about the Green Party. I'm not standing for the presidential election. That's already been decided as of like the last couple of hours. There were some who wanted me to do that, and I won't be doing that. And so maybe I'll continue to do this, or maybe I'll find another way to continue to confront empire. I don't, at this point, know what my future holds. But I can say to you that we have to find strength and hope and inspiration in the young people, like the We Are Change people, who don't seem to be afraid of anything. From people from countries who have far less than we have and who seem to be doing a whole lot more with people power. And then finally, we have to find some strength, some courage. And I usually don't talk like this because I was raised to be a Southern Belle. But women have got balls. Political women have got the balls, but we need some men too. Sorry about that. So thank you for spending this time with me tonight.
Well, what can I say apart from thank you very much, Cynthia, for an amazingly inspirational evening. I'm sure it's redoubled all of our intentions about carrying on being the change we want to see ourselves as well, We all have to take the risks. We have to go out there and try and change the world for the better, because otherwise the powers that be are going to trample all over us more and more. So it's our responsibility to keep everyone safe, to keep the planet going, and to try and fight for justice for those who are victimized as well. So thank you very much. It's a remarkable, remarkable pleasure to meet you tonight. Thank you.